This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We cover a lot of things happening around the Umpqua Valley and trying to keep track of what's going on in Salem with the Oregon State Legislature. Back in studio, State Representative Virgil Osborne. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
It seems like it's been kind of a hot week in Salem.
That's an understatement. Things are not going great in Salem right now, and there's lots and lots of reasons to be upset about things.
So what are some of the hottest issues that have been coming across the table right now?
So far and above anything else right now is Senate Bill 83, the wildfire map repeal. It is the hot button. That came through my committee this last week. And we wanted to send that onto the House floor. And it is a Democrat bill. It's Jeff Golden's fix to the wildfire maps that caused everybody so much grief. And we were happy that it was coming to the committee because then we could send it to the House floor. And then along came the governor and decided that she wanted to attach a bunch of money to it. And it went right out of committee and right into rules. So it may or may not die in rules. That's yet to be seen.
And if it did die, what would happen then?
Well, the majority party has continued to not allow our House Bill 3944 to come through, which was basically the identical bill, and I'm sure they won't. So basically, if they let this die, we are going to continue on with our fire maps, and we're going to continue causing grief and agony and pain to many, many, many residents in Douglas County and all the rural counties in Southern Oregon.
Well, I know, so I've heard people talk about being contacted and having to take action. I don't know what the timeline is going to be now since it's been kind of dragging through Salem.
Yeah, it's been on a pretty straight trajectory. Even Senator Golden, who sponsored this bill, and they wanted him to get the win for it because he's the one that got the win for making a mess out of it. They wanted him to get the win to fix it, and everything was going fine. Somewhere along the line, the governor realized that what she really wanted to do was take your kicker tax to pay for it. And she wants to take $1 billion out of your kicker tax, which last year was $1.8 billion, I believe. She wants to take $1 billion out of it to cover wildfire fighting and wildfire resilience and all that stuff and add it to this bill. And she doesn't want it to come out of rules until that has been amended into the bill. So it got pretty hot on the House floor this week. I believe it was Wednesday. We made a motion to pull the bill to the floor, and you can do that on the House floor. You can make a motion to pull a bill out of committee, and it's not negotiable at that point. It either comes out of committee and goes to the floor, or it doesn't. And mind you, this was a Democrat bill. When we made the motion to pull it out, the Democrats locked up and voted to not pull it to the floor. So we didn't get a chance to vote for it on the floor.
Have you talked to Senator Golden at all to kind of get his take on this?
So personally, I have not, but I have heard of one of our representatives did, and he said he's powerless. He can't do anything about it. And it passed the Senate floor unanimously. Both Democrats and Republicans unanimously voted for it. So I don't know. I don't know what to think of it.
What's the precedent I'm trying to remember for, taking that much of the kicker?
I don't know that there ever has been. I mean, and the only way they can do it is we have to vote it through. I mean, the kicker is constitutionally protected, but it can be voted by the legislature. They can take it if they want to take it, or most of it, or all of it, or whatever they want to do. I don't think they're going to get a Republican vote on this, but this is a leverage point. This is how this game works, and it really, truly is a game, and people call it 3D chess. The governor knows that she has the Republicans kind of over the barrel on this, because if we vote to not allow to take your kicker, then she kills the bill. So now you have the wildfire map. So they will form that into a, well, the Republicans could have passed this, but they didn't want to take your money, so it's their fault. And then if we vote for it, then we voted for adding to your tax dollar and taking away your money. And so it puts us in a bind, and that's part of being in the minority party. They need 36 votes to get this through. They have 35 because they have one person out right now that's ill. And I don't frankly think they're going to get it.
Now, how many days do we have left?
thank the Lord, we have about 29 days left.
Which means there's a lot to do between now and then, and for things like that to be hanging out there undecided one way or the other, whether they like the outcome or not, it seems like we're going to get a lot of things stacked in pretty tight at the end.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we haven't even seen this bill yet. 83 went to rules. Now it's going to be amended. I'm sure probably by mid-next week they will have amended it to add whatever funding they're planning on doing, which I'm sure is the kicker. And then it'll get voted through committee and it'll come to the floor. So I'd be surprised if we saw it on the floor until maybe the following week.
Now, there's also something out there, and I haven't been able to have time to get a lot of information about it, a cap and trade proposal.
Yeah, so there's already when Kate Brown was governor, she did an executive order to, it's kind of a crazy, it's hard to follow because there's lots of fingers to it, but she left as an executive order it was called the Climate Protection Program, and it has a phase-in period of time, and I believe by 2035, they wanted 80% of all the fossil fuels gone, and what it does is it starts taxing businesses that are emitting pollution at a pretty high rate, and we're about ready to go into that phase where that's going to happen. So what's happening now is, and I should also mention, that money that is brought in, and they're expecting it to be, multiple millions. I want to say the first year is $500 million, something along those lines. That will go to an NGO. The particular one that is pointed toward is Seeding Justice, and they are a nonprofit that supports Antifa, abortions. I mean, everything that they shouldn't. That's where the money is going to go. There is a movement in the House right now to derail that and lower the actual cap and trade fees and send that money to, they want to move it over to transportation to pay for the transportation budget that we also can't afford without raising taxes. It's getting some traction. It's getting there's a lot of discussion about it. Haven't seen a bill on it. Don't know where it's going to go yet, but I'm sure you'll hear a lot more in the next week or so.
Well, and I know Christine Drazen's office contacted us about that. We're going to talk more about that early next week, so it sounds like a lot is ahead on that.
Yes, there is. There is a lot. And I'm sure you've seen the transportation package that was proposed originally, which included an enormous amount of tax increases all across the board on payroll, gas tax, tire tax, you name it. That's not going to fly well with the people of Oregon, and the Democrats know it. So they're coming back after the Republicans trying to find a way that we will come in with them and say, okay, this is a little bit better bill. Frankly, there may be some Republicans that are going to go for that. I'm not that guy. I absolutely feel that we should be able to cut our projects. We should be able to cut our DEI spending. We should be able to cut enough stuff out of ODOT to make ODOT viable, and they should be able to exist with the funding they already have. But to take more money out of people's pockets, I'm just not going to agree to it.
So how tense is it going to get in Salem before it's all done?
Well, I mean, there's words being thrown around right now, like walkout. I don't think any of us want to walk out, but they've got 29 days to get this thing over. Constitutionally, sine die is June 29th, so they really want to get out of the building by the 18th. I don't see that happening at this point. But, we also have under measure, was a 113 that blocks us from walking out. It's a 10-day period. So they've got to get this thing done under that time frame when we could potentially leave the building and not grant them quorum, which gives them, you don't really have 29 days. You really have more like 20 days. So as you can imagine, now we haven't even talked about the gun bills. There's also all the gun bills. 243 just went through the Senate. It's headed over to the House. And I haven't followed where it went, so I don't know if it's actually in Ways and Means or if it's coming to the floor. But then we also have a House Bill of 3075 and 3076, which are both really terrible gun bills that are still parked in Ways and Means. So what's happening right now, again, I'll go back to the 3D chess comment. People don't really understand how politics works. This is how it works. It's leverage. The majority party uses these bills as leverage to get the minority party to go along with them to grant their tax increases. And they're going to have a tough time with this.
Talk more about what the gun proposals would do.
Well, Senate Bill 243 was probably the nastiest of the three. It was amended. I mean, it would have done things like, of course, the magazine capacity ban and bump stock bans. And also, it would have made it where a district could, even if you had a concealed carry permit, they could basically say you can't. And originally, I think how it was written, if let's just, for instance, say that you walked into your water district with your pistol concealed, if you walked into your water district to pay your bill, but the district had decided that it's not, you can't carry a concealed weapon, whether you have it or not, on their property, you could be, you'd be, and it'd be a felony. And then on top of that, the surrounding areas, like if you walked next door to get into your car and you're actually on somebody else's property, it would have followed you to that piece of property. That was amended and cleaned up a little bit, as well as some of the other things. I think the capacity magazine ban is still there. I don't know that that's going to leave. And then the other ones, 3075, 3076, really were more concentrated. 3075 was basically Major 114. 3076 went after federal firearms dealers, just made it harder to do business.
All right, more with State Representative Virgil Osborne when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Monday on Inside Douglas County, it's our end of the school year feature program with Roseburg High School Principal David Vickery and the two student body co-presidents will be in studio to talk about their year, their experience at Roseburg High School, and their look ahead towards graduation and what's ahead for them. State Representative Virgil Osborne in with us now. Obviously, a lot going on in Salem. Any other tax proposals out there?
Well, I think all of the tax proposals are still alive. Everything that we talked about, there was 21 new taxes they were talking about. None of them have died. They're all either in committee or somewhere in the works. It takes 36 votes to get it past the floor, and all tax votes start on the House floor. That's where they end. If you can't get it off the House floor, it's not going to the Senate. So they're short of votes right now, so there's still a chance, but hopefully they will die in committees somewhere.
Now, I know fire season is getting very close. Are we all set funding-wise?
No, we're not set funding-wise. I mean, emergency-wise, I think we are, and I think federally, I think in an emergency situation, there's the ability to at least do the initial attack. But no, we're not even close. That's where they want to take the money from the kicker to get us to that point. I know our state is a hot mess right now, and this is 100% the majority party's doings. They are holding things hostage that could have already been put into place and need to be, but they're not going to allow it.
Douglas Forest Protective Association telling me the data they have seen is calling for a sunnier, hotter, drier than normal June, July, August for pretty much a good chunk of Western Oregon and even parts of Eastern Oregon. So that means the concern level kind of goes up.
Certainly does. Of course, there's no real way to tell the weather. We can assume and we can predict, but we don't know for a fact how it's going to be. And we've had really super hot years before where we had no fires. Bottom line is, if we manage our forests, if we actually have people in the woods cutting timber, making clear cuts, building fire trails, doing the work that we did for 100 years or more, we wouldn't have a fire problem.
Talk about education, the budget there for K-12, community colleges, any movement there?
We haven't heard much about that, and that's all part of the statutory budget stuff that has to happen before the end of session, and I think it will. They're not focused. I mean, there is obviously that committee's focused on that, but we haven't seen it on the House floor yet. We have started to see some budget bills, and next week there's, I don't know, 6 or 8 of them that are coming through, but I haven't been involved in any of the discussions on that.
Now, and usually, well, not usually, but there are some sessions where education gets hit at the front end and decided one way or another.
Yeah, and this isn't one of those sessions. I think right now they are panicked over wildfire funding and they're panicked over transportation package. And, you know, there was a bill that just went through here 2 weeks ago that allowed, it was a tolling bill, and it made it through the House floor and unfortunately some bipartisan support on that. But, you know, they have a lot on their plate and none of it's good.
Talk about proposals impacting small business.
Yeah, there's just a number of them. And one of the things, in fact, we just had a hearing with DEQ this week in my committee. And DEQ came to us, informational hearing, asking for more funding to add more people for Title V. And they're so slow at getting permits, for potential emitters of pollution or whatever. They're so slow, it's taking 2 to 5 years to get your permit to start a business. So they're just really devastating the business in Oregon because they have so many regulatory rules. And so their feeling is they need more people so then they can find more, they can fine you more and fine businesses more. When they do that, that's how they fund themselves. Now, sadly, and I'll bring this up because it really irritated me, but within the committee, there was a consultant there that came in opposition to DEQ, and he does that work for many businesses in Oregon. He goes around and he basically helps them get through all their titling and all of their DEQ bureaucracy. And he says in committee, you know, you won't find any of my clients here because they're afraid of repercussions from DEQ. That really went home with me, and I'm not going to let that go. That is not okay. I mean, when a business is too afraid to speak out against a government organization because they're afraid they're going to get fined or they're afraid there's going to be repercussions, we have a serious problem, and that is 100% ran by our governor.
Anything else involving business?
Yeah, we passed a plastic bag ban, which is going to not allow businesses to do carryouts in plastic bags. We fought that pretty hard on the House floor, and Democrats passed it anyway. It's a horrible bill.
And that's kind of shifted over time in terms of what a lot of folks wanted us to do. Went to, you know, back and forth to paper, to plastic, and all of that. What option does that leave now?
So, interesting. There were some people that voted yes on it. Myself, I did not. I learned my lesson on the plastic bag bans. You'll never find me voting for that stuff again. The argument was, if we ban plastic bags, that we will increase our production of paper bags, which would increase timber production in Oregon. I ask in committee, I just absolutely don't agree with that because I think that's the excuse they will use. But it's Democrat policies that keep us from being able to log our timber anyway. That's not going to change. So what we're going to do is we're going to buy our paper sacks from Canada. Or we're going to buy them from China. We're not going to support Oregon because that would be supporting Oregon business, and legislature is just not geared that way.
So that means they might come with a tariff.
Well, there's that. That's another topic that does circulate throughout the House, yes.
And how is that being looked at right now, some of these tariffs, and how they could impact some Oregon businesses?
Well, the only thing they've really done, they haven't really impacted Oregon business much at all yet because a lot of them have been withdrawn and none of them have really come to pass. I mean, there could be a point in the future where they do, but what they do is cause a little bit of instability in the stock market, particularly people's 401ks. Now, there's been a lot of remonstrances on the floor from the House Democrats as how bad President Trump is because he's doing these things. He's causing people to lose money in their 401ks. Fact is, the stock market came back. It was only down for about a week, and it's now back. And my own personal experience, my stocks are higher now than they were a month ago.
And what about issues involving Douglas County and the legislature? Anything out there?
We did pass our urban growth boundary swap bill. 3921 was signed by the governor 2 days ago, so that was good. We passed our search and rescue bill, which affects all counties, but it was driven by Douglas County. That was signed by the governor a couple of, this is on the same day, I think 27th or 28th they were signed. So that was good. Douglas County is going to be affected by a lot of these housing bills and housing issues that we're coming up with. And one of the things that's really going to hurt is we just passed for the House floor a bill that allows a subcontractor to come back, and if the contractor pays the subcontractor and the subcontractor don't pay his people, now that subcontractor's people can go all the way back up the ladder and sue the homeowner or sue the general contractor. So that's going to really put the hurt on small business, and it's also going to put the hurt on the housing market. Even though they keep talking about how they want to build 36,000 houses, they continue to make it harder to build a house in Oregon.
What was the idea for this in terms of advocates who said it was a good idea?
100% union-driven. They want union labor. They do not want... And really, the problem is labor brokers in the state. Labor brokers don't care who they hire, and they don't pay their bills. And they count on immigrant labor that's going to come in. A lot of those folks don't even speak English. They count on that, and then they use them. Then they don't pay them the negotiated wage, or they take from them. And so what it's going to do is it's going to eventually it'll get to the labor brokers. but it'll make people use union labor, which we don't have that union labor in Southern Oregon. So that hurts Douglas County, and it hurts the local building market, and hurts local businesses, especially builders.
If we wrap up, talk about some of the things that are ahead next week.
Next week, we're gonna see the book ban bill. It's a Senate Bill 1098, I think, is coming through. I think it's a Senate bill. That's going to be pretty controversial. I think you'll see a lot of heated discussion on the House floor over that. That's the basically allowing porn in our high schools, which I don't understand. But we'll be talking about that. That's probably the most controversial one coming up. And then you'll see the gun bills probably.
All right. State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.